And the angel being come in said unto her, Hail, full of grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, dear sisters and dear faithful, if you remember this past Sunday in the sermon, Bishop Dolan had already spoken to you about the Ark of the Covenant, how it was a symbol of the altar of God in the New Testament, and also the Ark of Noah. It was a prefiguration, perhaps. But did you know that the Ark of the Covenant is also a type of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception? Now, just a brief catechism run through. The Immaculate Conception is this, that Our Lady was conceived in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne, without even the slightest stain of original or actual sin. She was always clean and pure, in other words, immaculate before God and man. But many Protestants say that we Catholics, we merely invented this doctrine on the Immaculate Conception, and that somehow the sinlessness of Our Lady takes away from the sinlessness of God. They say that the fact that Our Lady was immaculately conceived cannot be found in sacred scripture, and therefore it did not take place. But although the words themselves, the words Immaculate Conception, are not found, it's true, explicitly in sacred scripture, there are many things in the different passages of the Bible that point to the truth of the Immaculate Conception. One of them is in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant. And that's what I want to speak of today, and how that Ark is truly a type, a prefiguration of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. It all starts in the book of Exodus. Moses was called by God to the top of Mount Sinai, amidst all of the thunder and the lightning and the glory of God. And when he's up there praying, God speaks to him and delivers to him two tablets, all containing the Ten Commandments of God. Just a little bit afterwards, God then gives Moses, after he had given the commandments, he gives Moses a detailed plan for how the ark was to be constructed, because the ark is the special container, if you will, which would carry those two tablets with the commandments on them. And so God gave a detailed plan of how it was to be built. And later on, Moses, in the book of Exodus again, repeats word for word each minute detail which God had given to him for the construction of the ark. Now, why is this important, that he had it all up here and could say it word for word, every detail? It is because of this, because it emphasizes how crucially important it was for each detail of the construction to be carried out just as God had intended it to be. Because God wanted that ark containing the Word of God to be as perfect as humanly possible, for that very reason, that it would contain the written Word of God. Now, of course, the Ark of the Covenant, of the New Covenant, was designed by God to be more perfect and even more unblemished, more immaculate, for she, Our Lady, was to carry not the written Word of God within herself, but the Word of God made flesh. Now, it says in the scriptures that as soon as the Ark of the Covenant was built, scripture says, the glory of the Lord filled it, so that Moses could not even enter that tabernacle. The glory of the Lord would fill her too, the new Ark of the Covenant. Those words of David, of Moses, or Scripture rather, the glory of the Lord would fill it, remind us of the words of the Archangel Gabriel to Our Lady at the Annunciation. Do you remember them? When Our Lady asks, "How shall all this be done? For I know not man." Gabriel responds, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee." Yet another parallel with the ark. But there's still another most interesting foreshadowing of Mary as the new Ark of the Covenant. It's in the book of Kings, the second book of Kings. The Philistines had just defeated the Israelites once more in battle, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken away from them. And this, of course, caused much trouble and consternation in the hearts of the Israelites when that was done. But sometime afterwards, a great army was formed by the Israelites, and they went back and they recaptured the ark. And when King David had seen the ark being brought to him in triumphant procession, what were his words? He said joyfully, "Who am I that the ark of the Lord should come to me?" Does that sound familiar? These words of King David are almost identical to the words which Elizabeth said so joyfully when her cousin Mary, the new ark, entered her presence. "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And then when the ark was finally taken from the presence of David and then taken up to Jerusalem, Scripture tells us of the joyful dancing and shouting that took place among the Israelites. "And David danced," Scripture says, "with all his might before the Lord. And David and all the house of Israel brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord with joyful shouting and with the sound of trumpet." But so also, when Our Lady, the new ark, greeted Elizabeth, do you remember what happened next? Saint John the Baptist leapt for joy in the womb of Saint Elizabeth. But David, just like John the Baptist, leapt for joy, not primarily because of the ark itself, but because of what the ark contained. The Word of God, in the written Word of God in the old ark, and the Word of God made flesh in the new ark. But one last parallel between the old and the new ark of the covenant, because David feared the ark's arrival in his own home, he ordered that ark to be taken up into the hill country in Judea to remain with the household of a certain Obed-Edom, and there it would stay for 3 months. And when it remained there, it brought about many blessings upon his house. And so also Mary, the new ark, after the Annunciation, what was the first thing she did? She went with haste into the hill country of Judea to visit her cousin Elizabeth, where she stayed for 3 months, just like the ark with Obed-Edom. And the Bible says that while the ark remained with Obed-Edom and his household, that it blessed his household with fertility of women and crops and livestock. All of it was increased. All of it was given a special blessing by God. And that same gift was given in advance in a most miraculous way to Elizabeth. She was given fertility and in her old age was able to conceive a child, Saint John the Baptist. So you see, the Immaculate Conception really is in the Bible. How sad it is that Protestants do not believe in the privileges of Our Lady or the powers that she has with her divine Son. They will never be able to possess the same joy that David or Elizabeth or any of us really possess when we welcome the ark into our presence. But how lucky we are to have Mary, the new ark of the covenant. I might ask you to do this, to invite Our Lady, the new ark of the covenant, into your homes. Now, what do I mean by this? It's simple. She will always bring joy and peace of heart and peace of family if you stay with her. But you must love her with all of your might by obeying her Son's commandments. You must love her totally by your devotions to her, the daily family rosary, of course, and your three Hail Marys morning and night, and the Angelus three times a day. Your whole day should be sprinkled with Mary, because, as the saints tell us, of her there is never enough. The more you stay with Our Lady, the greater a sign you have that God is drawing you to heaven. Never leave the presence of the ark. If you welcome her, the new ark, you will experience all of the eternal joys of heaven, just as David, in the presence of the ark, danced so joyfully before the old ark. May Our Lady, under the title of the Immaculate Conception, truly be a source of joy to you as she was to Elizabeth, and draw us all to the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.